This is the first of 6 modules which will cover all of the various types of share incentive schemes and share option schemes which are currently available. In order for a share option scheme to obtain tax and NIC advantages, it must first obtain approval from the revenue. At present, there are 4 types of approved share schemes. In the next module, we shall look at share incentive plans. The second type of approved share option scheme is perhaps the simplest to operate and the easiest to understand, and is called a savings-related share option scheme. We shall also look at approved company share option plans, which are very popular in practice, as they allow employers to offer share incentives to selected members of the workforce. Finally, we shall look at another new type of share incentive scheme, that being EMI schemes, or Enterprise Management Incentives. All of the above schemes, assuming they have revenue approval, will have certain tax and NIC advantages. These low tax schemes generally enable a company to award shares to its workforce free of tax and national insurance. Share schemes which do not obtain in revenue approval are called unapproved schemes. The key difference between an approved scheme and an unapproved scheme is the lack of tax and NIC advantages offered where employees receive shares from an unapproved scheme. We shall look at unapproved schemes in a later module. Before we move on and look at the detailed rules, let us first define a few basic terms and establish some general principles. When an employer company grants a share option to an employee, what the employee is receiving is a piece of paper, which gives him the right to acquire shares in the employer company within a specified period of time. It is important that you are comfortable with the term share option. An option is a right to acquire an asset in a given time window. In this instance, the asset is shares in the employer company. At some point in the future, the employee will exercise this share option. This simply means that the employee will take up his right to buy shares in the employer company. Some share option schemes will permit the employee to buy the shares at a discount, i.e., for less than their market value. Only on the exercise of the option will the shares physically pass to the employee. Note that shares do not pass on the granting of an option. It is only at the point of exercise that the employee will actually acquire the shares. These are the key features of a typical share option scheme. There are, of course, different types of share option scheme, and the ways in which an employee will acquire shares will differ from scheme to scheme. The detailed rules will be covered in later modules. There are 3 main reasons why an employer will install a share incentive scheme. Shares may be awarded to employees as remuneration for services. In essence, employees may be paid bonuses in share form rather than in cash. Because the employee is essentially being remunerated in share form, this will act as a performance incentive. The idea here is that the employee works hard, and by his effort, the value of the shares in the company increase, thereby giving him additional profits. Perhaps the most important reason why a company will install a share option scheme is for the retention of their staff. In the majority of the share option schemes we will look at, the employee is not allowed to exercise his options, and as such is not permitted to acquire any shares, until he has been with the company for a minimum period of 3 years. In a world where workers are increasingly mobile and regularly move from job to job, share incentive schemes are an effective way of retaining employees in the short to medium term. In this particular module, we will concentrate on gifts of shares from an employer to an employee. So let us take an employer company, which we shall call ABC PLC, and the company gives shares in ABC PLC to one of its employees. It is very important to be clear that this arrangement is not a share option. Note that the employee is not being given the right to buy shares, the employee is actually being given the shares themselves. When free shares are awarded by an employer to an employee, there will normally be a charge on the employee at the date of the gift. If an employer transfers an asset to an employee at a nil or reduced cost, this will give rise to a taxable benefit in the hands of the employee. The next thing to consider here is whether the shares constitute a readily convertible asset. If the shares are in a company which is listed on a stock exchange, as will be the case for quoted companies such as ABC PLC, the shares will be readily convertible. Readily convertible essentially means that it is easy for the employee to turn these assets into cash overnight. If you remember back to your PAYE sessions, if an employee is remunerated in the form of a readily convertible asset, tax must be withheld at source under the PAYE system. We shall have a look at how this works on the next page. Payments by way of readily convertible assets are regarded as earnings for NIC purposes. Both the employee and the employer will be liable for Class 1 national insurance contributions on the value of the shares gifted. Moving on to unlisted shares, i.e. shares that are not quoted on a recognised stock exchange. As a general rule, these will not be regarded as readily convertible assets. This is because it can be difficult to convert unquoted shares into cash, as there is no recognised market for unlisted shares. Generally speaking, unquoted shares will only be regarded as readily convertible assets if there is an arrangement in place for them to be sold. This means that if an employer gives unquoted shares to one of its employees, then subsequently assists the employee in selling the shares will be readily convertible. On the assumption that unquoted shares are not readily convertible assets, an award of shares will not be regarded as earnings for NIC purposes and will not give rise to an NIC charge in the hands of either the employee or the employer. However, don't forget that an award of unquoted shares will still be treated as earnings, and the employee will be assessed on the market value of the shares via the self-assessment system. Let us now take a look at how PAYE is applied when shares which are readily convertible assets are gifted by a company to one of its employees. Under PAYE, the market value of the shares is treated as an emolument of the employment as at the date of the gift. This amount is entered onto the PAYE deduction card by the employer. Tax is then calculated on these deemed earnings in the normal way. This means that we pretend that the market value of the shares is cash earnings and calculate the tax to be withheld using the employee's tax code. The resulting tax figure is then deducted from gross pay in that particular month. There is no restriction on the amount of tax to be withheld in this instance. You will recall from your PAYE session that when a K code is in operation, the amount of tax to be withheld cannot exceed 50% of the gross pay for the period. This rule does not apply in the case of tax on readily convertible assets. The effect of this will be that, in the majority of instances, the employee will be left with no net pay for that particular period. If the tax to be withheld under PAYE exceeds the gross amount of cash pay for the month, the employer will do two things. Firstly, the employer is required to pay all of the tax that should be deducted to the revenue on the normal due date. You will recall that the normal due date for tax under PAYE is 14 days after the end of the tax month, i.e. by the 19th of the month. Having paid all of this tax to the revenue, the employer will then have to recover any additional tax from the employee. If the employee fails to reimburse the employer for the tax deducted within 90 days, this additional tax is itself subject to Class 1 NIC. The unpaid tax should also be reported as a benefit on the employee's P11D at the end of the year. This is a logical principle because the tax on the readily convertible asset is the employee's liability, and if the employer settles this liability on behalf of the employee, this will give rise to an additional benefit. An alternative would be to enter into a loan arrangement. In essence, the employer lends the employee money to meet the PAYE liability, and then allows the employee to reimburse this amount in instalments over a pre-arranged period. In this case, there will be a loan between the employer and the employee. This loan will give rise to a loan interest benefit. Let us illustrate this by way of an example. In January 2011, ABC PLC transferred shares worth £20,000 to an employee. The employee has a gross monthly salary of £3,000. This equates to £36,000 per annum. The figure to be entered on the PAYE deduction sheet is the gross earnings for January 2011, which is the cash salary plus the market value of the shares. These total £23,000. Tax on this £23,000 will be calculated in the normal way, using the employee's tax code. Here we assume that the tax to be withheld comes out to be £8,500. In practice, this figure will be ascertained from the employer's tax tables. This will leave the employee with net earnings of £14,500 in the period. Let us consider the position with regard to the employee's gross cash pay. The gross cash pay for the month is £3,000. However, the employer will need to deduct total tax and national insurance under PAYE of £8,500. The employer will have to pay this amount to the collector of taxes no later than the 19th of February 2011. The employer will duly deduct £3,000 from the employee's gross pay, leaving the employer with a net deficit of £5,500. The effect of this is twofold. Firstly, the employee is left with no net cash pay for this particular month. The second implication is that the employee now owes his employer tax of £5,500. The employee should reimburse this liability within 90 days, i.e. by the end of April 2011. Let us assume that the employee never reimburses this liability. The effect of this will be to treat the £5,500 as an additional benefit in the hands of the employee. This figure will therefore appear on the employee's P11D for 2010-11 and will be taxed as a normal benefit. Finally, in this session, let us consider the national insurance effects of a gift of shares by an employer to an employee. Again, note here that we are not considering share options at this point. An outright gift of shares is not a share option. As for PAYE, if the shares are readily convertible assets, for example, quoted shares, they will be regarded as earnings for Class 1 NIC purposes. So, the employee will be liable for Class 1 primary national insurance contributions. Remember that employees have an upper earnings limit for Class 1 purposes, so earnings in excess of this limit will only be charged at the additional rate of 1%. Any employee NIC due in respect of the shares should be deducted from cash payments to the employee in the same month. If there is insufficient cash pay, the NIC due can be collected from subsequent cash payments made in the same or the following tax year. Similarly, payment in the form of a readily convertible asset will also constitute earnings for Class 1 secondary NIC purposes. There will always be a Class 1 secondary NIC charge at 12.8% on the employer, because there is no reduced rate for employers' contributions. On the assumption that unquoted shares are not readily convertible assets, an award of shares will not be regarded as earnings for NIC purposes and will not give rise to an NIC charge in the hands of either the employee or the employer. This concludes this initial module on share incentives. As this has been a largely information-based lecture, there are no practice questions to attempt.